All right, welcome back to the TFD Performance Podcast, first official episode of 2024. I'm joined by TFD Senior Performance Dietitian, Combat Jack, Big Jackie, aka the Combat Dietitian Jack Doherty. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me. The most common response on all podcasts. It's so awkward when you're on someone else's podcast and they do like a big intro for you and you're like, yeah, we just had this whole conversation 10 minutes ago and yep, hi, let's just get into it. But let's get into exactly that. Good topic we're going to talk about today. Something very important. If you are a combat sport athlete and say you aren't a professional or you're dabbling in different combat sports, this is going to be very important to you because you'll probably have to weigh in a whole different type of different weigh-in formats. And one thing I'll tell you is that you cannot take the same weight cutting approach to all of those weigh-in formats because it's going to be very, very different how you approach them. We're going to talk about nutrition for overnight, same day and multiple day weigh-ins. Very first thing off the bat, Big Jackie, can you just break down what is the format difference between an overnight, same day and multiple day weigh-ins? Just give some examples of sports that use each one of those formats.
All right. Nice and quick. So overnight, which is generally 24 to 36 hours prior to the fight. So usually, for example, it's on a you weigh in on Friday and you compete on Saturday. This is generally for at the professional level, not always, but generally that's when it's seen. Usually for sports like MMA, boxing, kickboxing, some jits competitions, but generally that's the pro league for the MMA and the striking sports. Again, what like we said, you weigh in at say, if you're in Melbourne or Sydney, it's 6 p.m. and you compete at 6 p.m. the next day, about 24 hours. And in other commissions and around the world, it's usually about 36. So you weigh in about midday, compete the next day about 6 p.m. Then the same day and multiple day weigh-ins, again, generally are at the amateur level. So a lot of competitions at amateur level, you weigh in, say for striking sports like Muay Thai, you weigh in about 10 a.m. and then you can fight anywhere between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., depending on your weight class. Usually you weigh in the morning, and then depending on the weight class, they stagger it, the heavier, the later. Jits and a lot of grappling are the same day. Again, it could be a window between 4 hours. It could be a window of 15 minutes. It really varies. And then the multiple-day weigh-ins are generally seen what we see in some grappling contests, but a lot of amateur boxing and a lot of like Olympic qualifying boxing is on the multiple day weigh-ins. So generally what you have is you start a fight week and they may weigh in Thursday, Friday, and Sunday of that week, or they might weigh in twice, sometimes four times. So they have to weigh in each morning on their day that they have to fight or compete. And then they have to fight again anywhere between 4 to 8 hours afterwards, but on the same day.
So even just hearing that, you can appreciate now, if you've never heard any of this, that they're very, very different formats. And you should be able to appreciate that your nutrition approach and your weight cutting approach for each needs to be different. The biggest single reason why it needs to be different is what we call lag or lag time. And what the lag time is exactly what Jack just explained, is that for overnight weigh-ins, you've probably got 24 to 36 hours from weigh-in to competition. That is a 24 to 36 hour lag time that we call it. And as you go through these different formats, that lag time changes. So same day weigh-ins can be anywhere from 15 minutes. If you're at an IBJJF jiu-jitsu tournament, you'll literally weigh in, go into the bullpen, and then you'll get called up and start your bracket and you'll be fist bumping and you'll be competing 10 to 15 minutes after you weighed in. All the way, you know, some amateur Muay Thai boxing, you can weigh in that morning, even if you've got like grappling industries for jiu-jitsu, you'll weigh in earlier and then it's 3, 4, 5, even up to 8 hours later that you're going to be weighing in. That means that lag time is different. And then for, like Jackie said, the multiple day, you're going to be weighing in sometimes multiple days in a row. Sometimes you might be weighing in Thursday, Friday, have Saturday off, and then the Sunday. So it's a completely different approach. What's most important you need to understand is the lag time, because that lag time determines two things: how much you can deplete your body and then how much you can recover your body. So if you've got this 24-hour overnight weigh-in, you can use all of the what we call high risk for both your performance and health strategies that we use with our top level UFC guys, such as carbohydrate depletion, where you're bringing down that glycogen. You can use sodium restriction, where you're reducing total body water. You can do things like a water load and then water restriction to, again, help reduce that total body water. You can reduce fiber to clear extra non-essential body mass out. And then you can also do an active or passive sweating phase where you're going to push even more, up to 3 to 5% body weight, additional weight on top of those nutritional strategies that use, to then get to weight. And all up, that could be anywhere from 8% of your body weight all the way up to 12% for guys who are high responders to this. And we can be pretty confident in that 24 to 36 hours, we can put back everything in that you depleted. 8 to 12% body weight. You think about that now. Just do the quick math. If you're a 100 kilo person right now, that's 8 to 12 kilos that you're going to be putting back on in your body in that 24 to 36 hours. That's a lot of weight. Do that math right now, quickly in your head, for whatever weight you are in kilos or pounds. 8 to 10 to 12% is huge. You could not do that when it comes to a same day weigh-in. And the reason you cannot do that is because there is no way you can physically restore all of the glycogen and get that down into your system and back into your muscles, back into your liver before you compete. So you're going to be competing in a depleted state. There's no way that you can adequately restore electrolyte balance and then get the parts of your body that you need to get rehydrated, i.e., your brain, your kidneys, your other organs, get that rehydrated adequately if you've only got 3 hours and you've cut 10 to 12% of your body weight. You need to be very, very aware of the lag time, because that how you deplete determines how you replete. And you need to make sure that you're going into the cage or competition in the best shape possible, because you need to remember, you don't get any medals for making weight. You don't get any medals. You don't qualify for the Olympics for making weight. You qualify and you get medals for winning. And a big part of that is making sure that you rock up and you turn up to your match, your fight, whatever it is, in the best state possible.
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem that I see of recent is that people approach these all the same. So because there's so much information out there, whether it's correct or incorrect, a lot of people are sourcing information from various sources, but they're applying it to their situation incorrectly. So I've been on many consult calls or had new clients have this discussion where they've in the past approach a same day weigh-in contest like an overnight weigh-in contest. They've had the same principles and they've not understood the importance to approach it differently just due to the safety of this the safety risk and so forth. So many of like recently work with these because obviously there's so many amateur contests now. It's like I think it's more there's more contests from striking to grappling sports than there probably ever has been. It's so popular and there's a lack of understanding of, like you're saying, like not just about getting on weight, but the safety around it, the performance elements to it. Because again, like you said, you're not getting a medal for making weight, and a lot of people look at that as the first win. You're looking at getting in there as healthy as possible and minimizing the chance of serious injury, but also like you want to be performing at your best. So approaching these all as an individual approach is what's most important.
So what we'll do now is we'll go through what the numbers are that we recommend for each one of these, for the overnight, for the same day, and for the multiple day weigh-in. We'll give you a percent body weight that we recommend for that. And then we're going to break down why and how we got that number. So for the overnight weigh-in, 24-36 professional MMA that you see this mostly UFC, like I said, 8 to 12%. And the reason we can do that is because we know we can lose, 2 to 3% of your body weight from glycogen depletion, 1 to 2% from reducing your sodium. With a water load, you could probably be looking at anywhere from 1 to 2% as well, doing low fiber, anywhere from 0.5% to 2%, depending on your habitual diet. So you've got, close to 5-6% there. And then we know that the safest amount that we're going to let you passively or actively sweat, that means sweating, either working out or sitting, preferably in a warm bath or in an appropriately temperatured sauna, maximum 5%, preferably 3 to 4%. So if you were to add all those numbers up, you're going to be sitting in the ballpark of somewhere between 8 to 12%. 12% on the very upper limit. I say that because that's the reality of it. Some people do. I wouldn't recommend it. 10% is what we generally see, and we're seeing that in the data that we're looking at from the UFC PI, who's collected data on all these UFC fighters over the years. Generally about 10%, 8% probably preferable. You're going to have a lot funner of a time if you do that. But that's the numbers. And we say those numbers again because when it comes to that rehydration phase, you've got a good 3 to 4 hours where you can just focus on rehydrating. You can recalibrate those body electrolytes in that immediate hour to 2 hours straight after your weigh-in. After that, you can focus on getting the total amount of fluid back in that you need to get the fluid to all the different cells in your body. Once you've done that, you can be confident that you've adequately rehydrated your gut and you can start introducing carbohydrates back in. You've got to restore all the glycogen that you lost. And for a lot of people, you've pretty much come close to depleting it. And we know that you've got to replete and get that glycogen level back up. You've got to be eating 7 to 10 to 12 grams per kilogram of carbohydrate each day for the Friday and Saturday, which is an astronomical amount of carbs. So you need a lot amount of time to physically digest that and get that food in. It makes sense that you need all of that Friday and then pretty much all of that Saturday to get that food in. We know you can do that. That's why we recommend those numbers. But when you take that and you go, okay, same day weigh-in, let's look at the same day weigh-in. Let's say that you've got the jiu-jitsu guy that's coming up and he's only got 15 minutes. There's no way that that jiu-jitsu guy can rehydrate properly if he's sat in a sauna for 3-4 hours and then he's sweat out 3 to 5% of his body weight. There's no way he's even getting close to restoring that in the 15 minutes before he has to compete. There's no way that he's restoring any of his glycogen. If he puts fiber back into his body, that's going to be horrendous for his gut, and he's going to be salt depleted anyway. So he's going to go into that competition so depleted. So for that person, we have to acknowledge that you don't have time to restore glycogen, probably don't have time to rehydrate properly. So the strategies that you can use are probably a fiber reduction, which we're going to get anywhere from 0.5% body weight loss up to 2 to 3 if you've got a good fiber intake. So that's a decent amount there. And then you could do a salt reduction, not a complete cutout, but you can reduce your sodium to encourage your body to lose a bit more fluid. And you could do a mild fluid restriction for, say, 12 hours where your body's still going to be hydrated, but you can just slightly drop that. All up, you might be getting somewhere from, depending how you respond, 2 to 4, maybe at best, 5% in the days leading up. And we know that you don't particularly want to sweat. However, if you want to get a good warm-up in and say you've only got 2% off with those dietary strategies, and then you've got another 2% of your body weight, say for me at 70 kilos, that would be 1.4 kilos. I'm a big sweater. I lose 1.4 kilos in a warm-up anyway. So I'm just going to put my gi on and I'm going to sweat out and I'm going to get warm and then I'm going to go weigh in. All of a sudden, then I've lost 4 to 5%. But that would be the max. You need to appreciate for those same day weigh-ins that you don't want to ever be more than 4 to 5% in those few days leading up, 4 or 5 days leading up, because your only option is to use the low fiber, the low sodium, and a little water restriction plus a light sweat out once you get there. Because if you do anything more, your performance is going to be at a detriment. Big Jackie, you want to take us through multiple day weigh-ins? What are the numbers that you would recommend for multiple day weigh-ins? What are the strategies you're using? And then how does that look like in practice?
Well, it's a kind of an unpopular thought process, but like it's, for me, it's as minimal as possible. So generally, like, again, you can push the numbers a bit higher, but I like 1 to 2% when it comes to multiple day weigh-ins, because that's what I think is ideal in the realm of when we're talking about safety in conjunction with optimizing their performance. Because if you do anything higher than, say, 2% in that fight week, you're playing catch up on every day, because you're going, I'm weighing in, then you're trying to fuel for that. And then you've got to go, oh, I've competed now, and now I've got to think about my next weigh-in. So how much restriction I have to do. So if you're only 1%, or if you can get basically on that weight before you even start the week, we can have a more flexible experience in terms of how we're going to fuel you and stuff like that. But in terms of the preparation for that, for example, I had, there was a lot of Olympic trials at the end of last year. I had a lot of boxers internationally compete around the world. So what we try to do is get around that 1% away from weight, 2% away from weight, and then starting the fight week. We did use similar strategies leading into the first weigh-in that we usually do, but not in any dramatic sense of the word. Obviously, the water load, we don't do as dramatic. Glycogen depletion, only a slight glycogen depletion. We still need to keep carbohydrates in there, so we're going into that thing, going to that contest somewhat fueled. Salt reduction, again, we may reduce the amount, but we're not cutting it out. which I think is very important to talk about as well. And obviously fiber is something that we have a lot more room to play with in terms of that. But then what we also speak about is throughout that week, because obviously you've weighed in, you've competed, and keeping the food, low volume food throughout that week as well. So again, low fiber, low volume. So you're not having that food volume in your digestive system and the water attached. So you can kind of keep that throughout the week and keep yourself lighter. So that's what we're using, similar technique, but in kind of a less aggressive sense of the word. But again, so the principles are we're trying to get in as close to, so the 1% to 2% ideally. We're using the same principles, but obviously just less aggressive in those terms. And then throughout that week, making sure we're having low volume foods to keep us fueled, but not having that excess water retention.
So just to summarize that, remember guys, this is for the fight week period. So this is anywhere between 3 to 5 days leading up to your weigh-in, your first weigh-in if you're doing multiple day weigh-ins, and your official weigh-in if you're doing same and overnight weigh-ins. So we're talking from the Tuesday or Wednesday or even the Monday of the fight week or competition week. So we're saying for overnight weigh-ins, anywhere from 8 to 12%, you're going to go on the higher number of that. I would highly recommend you do that under the supervision of a professional, because that is a huge amount of weight to lose. 8 to 12% for overnight weigh-ins. We're saying anywhere from 2 to 5% for same day weigh-ins, depending if you're a responder or non-responder. And then for these multiple day weigh-ins, when you're coming into your fight week, you can only be 1 to 2% above your weigh-in weight. Because like Jack said, you're going to have to keep making that weight over the weekend. And anyone who's had to do that tournament weigh-in style before, you know, it gets harder and harder if you've been too reductive and too depleted when you're going in. It gets harder and harder to make that weight. And then each day as the competition goes on, the focus goes more and more away from performing, and it goes more and more towards making weight. I've seen so many talented athletes miss out on spots in the Olympics, miss out on spots in Com Games, miss out on national championships, Golden Glove championships, when they should have won and been in those teams because they did not take their weight cut seriously.
Yeah. And I think it's like what I speak to all my guys about in terms of these weigh-in formats and what they're going for. Our focus is, of course, making the weight, but our focus is being able to perform optimally. Because if you're trying to be the best athlete you can be and you're trying to win these very incredibly important contests when you're, say, qualifying for the Olympics, is you want to go in there and be at your best. And if you do this incorrectly, and like we say, you can make weight in a lot of these senses. You can get up and sauna and deplete yourself completely and not eat and all these things and make weight consistently over that week. But you're not going to perform very well, and you're going to feel horrible throughout the whole process. And then even more important, what we speak about a lot is the safety around it. Like obviously with these short weigh-in windows, I think obviously we talk about, you know, ability to rehydrate, performance, you know, performance capabilities. But what we also stress to people is the safety around it, especially when it comes to striking sports. Like when if you've got limited time to rehydrate and you're not in this position of optimal hydration, and you're going to these contests where it could be 3 to 5 to 10 rounds, depending how many fights you're doing that day, you're putting yourself at huge risk of taking damage, especially when we're talking about brain health. And I think that's something that, you know, is very important to kind of highlight, because in these amateur levels, we're seeing a lot of young people coming up. In Victoria, there was a contest where they actually found a person who was underage, about 14 years of age, under the guidance of, I don't know if it was their coach or their parents, cutting weight to make weight for a contest, which obviously is completely ethically wrong because they're under 18, but also the dangers around that. So that's why I know people think we bang on about this stuff, but it's about creating this awareness and giving people the knowledge so these practices don't happen and we don't end up with some horrific outcome for people in general. But the younger generation need to know this, because we talk about performance, we talk about ability to make weight, but we also got to really highlight the importance of making sure that everyone's health and safety is at the foremost of our thought processes.
Yeah, that's the most important point, because we've done this for years and years, and I've flip-flopped on this so many times over the years, but I am so firm both from a practical standpoint and then a research standpoint. I guarantee in the next 12 months or so, there will be a whole body of research that comes out that proves what a lot of us, and especially me and Jack, what we've been saying so much over the last 2 years, is that weight cutting does not give you the advantage that you think it gives you. We're going to be able to look through so much data in the UFC, all of the weight cut data from all of these athletes over the last 2 years. And I can guarantee that that'll come back and show that there's no correlation between being the bigger or cutting more weight and being the bigger athlete in the octagon and having more success. And that applies to all combat sports at all different levels. Yes, grappling can be a bit different, but the overall principle you need to understand is that what gets you medals is your performance. Weight cutting and weight cutting as a tactic is detrimental to your performance. You can do it in a way that is least detrimental, but in every which way you do it, it's going to be detrimental. Okay. So doing it the best way is best for your performance, but not doing it at all is probably even better. And yeah, especially when we're talking about youth athletes and young athletes, focus on what matters. That's your skill development. That is being fueled properly at your training and being fueled when you go into your competition. It applies for athletes all levels coming up. And we're seeing it in the professionals. I can tell you absolutely, especially even at the highest ranks, athletes that don't cut that much weight do just as well as the guys that do.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've seen a lot of young athletes quit the sport because the stress, anxiety, pain around weight cutting has taken such a toll on them that they've disliked the sport in the end of it and disliked the whole process. So they've ended up probably shortening a possible prosperous career. And that's something that, you know, is obviously sad. But I think, like, anecdotally, we can pull up our emails on our phones and all the feedback we get from all these clients and talk about, like, all the experiences and the different psychological component, the physical component, how they're feeling going into all these contests. If you do it right, you do it fueled, you do it safely, you do pick the right weight class, then it'd be, you are the optimal athlete and that the results come. If you do this incorrectly, you see all the negative side effects. You see all these things that shouldn't be happening and horrible things happen to people. So, you know, that's what we're saying. We're saying it from a position of a lot of experience. I think me and you talk about this all the time, Jordy, is that we've been there and we've facilitated or we've been around some pretty hectic situations in terms of weight cutting that we've spoken about before. I don't know if you want to go over that today, but that we can reference as, like, direct evidence to these factors we're speaking about today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think let's wrap it up there because that's a lot of good information. Biggest take-home point I think I want you guys to get out of this is that it's a different approach for each one of these. Overnight weigh-ins, same day weigh-ins, and multiple day weigh-ins are all different beasts, and you need to tackle them accordingly. And you need to have a different nutrition strategy for each one of them. And I think the next biggest take-home point is that, like we said, you don't get selected in the team and you don't get a medal, you don't get a trophy for making weight. You get it for winning your fight or your competition or whatever it is. Focus on your performance. Don't focus on making the weight. And if you're going to make the weight, do it in the most scientific, most responsible way possible that is appropriate for the format that you're competing in. So thank you guys so much for listening in. First episode back for 2024. We're going to be doing weekly episodes, weekly drops. If there's a topic you want us to talk about, slide in our DMs on Instagram @the_fightdietitian. Make sure you hit us up and let us know what you want to hear. If you want more in detailed resources about this exact topic for nutrition for overnight, same day, and multiple day weigh-ins, we have some really great guides that break down all of the science from this. It shows you how you guys can structure your meal plan throughout your training period, how you can structure your fat loss phase, the macronutrients that you need, the calories that you need, how to get your training nutrition impact. And then it shows you all of the different weight cut strategies that we've used over the years and how you manipulate them for overnight, same day, and multiple day weigh-ins. It then takes you through how you rehydrate and reload for those competitions. If you want to have a look at those guides, at www.thefightdietitian.com/store, all those guides are in there. Big Jackie, thanks for coming on, and I'll chat to you next time.